Yes, I'm not actually a preacher, you know, so I will just make time. This time I was just used to share about my life, you know, to share what God has done in my life, you know, because what has happened in my life was just because of God, you know. It is nothing that was done out of my self, basically, you know, or that people has done, you know, or helped me, like, but it was because of the mercy of God, you know, and for that reason, I'm just truly grateful this evening, you know, as I'm standing here, you know, to be sharing a few thoughts with you guys. There's just a few scriptures that I want to read for you. It is taken exactly from the Bible, so I'm not going to open my Bible. I will read it from, you know, from my preparation here. The first one is from 1 Timothy 6 in verse 11, and it reads as follows. It says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." The following scriptures will mention the word righteousness, you know. So I just want, here is about four or five scriptures, so I just would like to read these few scriptures, you know. The next one is in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. It says that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds, we have been healed. The next scripture is in Proverbs 21, verse 21, and it says, "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." And then the next scripture is in Matthew 5, verse 6, and that scripture, I'm sure most of you guys also know, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And then the last scripture that I just want to read is Matthew 6, verse 33, that says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So, I think, like James has shared, you know, I was met in 1992, and you know, it took me a couple of months, you know, to do the Bible studies, you know, to get baptized. That was really a time in my life, you know, like I can remember, like it is many years ago, you know, but I can remember that it was one of the best times of my life. Amen. You know, because I could really see, you know, or the brothers helped me, you know, to see what God really really expects from me, and I think at that stage also I wanted to do what was right, you know, and I was just so inspired, so happy, you know, to have met these guys, and I was just so happy, you know, to know, you know, what God really expects for me, like I can to really do what God expects for me, and for a couple of years, you know, I was a true disciple, you know. I had my Bible, my quiet times, and I really enjoyed having my quiet times. I had my times in the Bible. I had my times reaching out to my friends, you know, to people around me, you know, reaching out to strangers. Like it was really exciting to me. You know, I really felt, you know, like bring it on. You know, like this is really what I want to do. You know, this is really what God expects me to do. Because I mean, there's certain scriptures, you know, that I looked at, you know, like, and those scriptures clearly showed, I clearly understood from those scriptures, you know, that is what God expects from me. Like, and I was really, I was just excited, you know, like with this new life, you know. Because you know, I grew up as a fairly good boy, basically. I was not really the naughty guy, you know. I was going to church, you know. So I was really happy, you know, with what I found at that stage, you know. But you know what happened, you know, and like, like, and I was, like I just want to share these things with you guys so that hopefully it can help some of you know to come out stronger, basically, like if you go through a bad time, you know. You know what happened was that like I started to miss quiet times. You know, I was not open with my life. I was not open with my struggles, you know. Even temptations, you know, not talking about temptations. You know, you guys will not realize how important it is to even talk about the temptations, you know, because you might not give in to the temptation, but it's important to talk about it, you know, to tell someone, you know, like I was tempted in this way and it was really tough. But for me, you know, like I didn't talk about it. And you know, if you don't speak about your sin, if you don't speak about sin in your life, it becomes more. And of course, you become embarrassed. Your pride kicks in and you feel that, you know, like you can't share this this lustful thoughts or like maybe you lied, you know, whatever, but you feel you can't, like you've done it for so many times that you become ashamed, you know, like you don't want to share it, you know, like, and what then happened is that you drift away from God, you know. Like I think one very important thing also is that you tell yourself that you are doing okay, but you are not doing okay. Yeah. You know, like, and that is what I mean, looking back, I know like that is what I've done. You know, like I told myself, I'm doing okay. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. You know, I'm not bad. You know, I'm not doing 100%, but what I am supposed to do, but I was doing okay. And what happens is you deceive yourself. Yeah. You know that, and of course you just become. You just drift further and further away from God, you know. And I just got involved in a lot of sin. I mean, I fell away from church for many years, you know. And I don't want to be there again, you know. I don't want to be away from God. I want to be a follower of God, you know, for the rest of my life. You know, because I know also what is happening in the world, you know. You just become worse, basically. You know, like things that you haven't even done before. You know, before you became a disciple, if you then move away from God or like turn your back on God, you know, you do worse things, you know. And that is what happened to me, you know. Like I got married, you know. Like I've got two wonderful daughters, and I've also got a foster child, you know. And I was just not the parent or the dad that I should have been for my daughters, you know. Like, you guys can understand that I wasn't the husband that I should be for my wife, you know, because I was not right with God, you know. And you know what, I really hurt my wife deeply, you know. And I'm just grateful this evening, you know, that God has changed my life. But luckily, you know, like I said, through the grace of God, late last year, like he started to work in my heart, you know. And I attended church services, and I, you know, the church services also made me realize, like I heard the message, you know, and it really cut my heart, you know. I knew that I was not right with God, and I knew that I needed to be right with God. And what also happened was that I also, but, you know, because of the sin in my life, you know, I was not willing, or like I was ashamed, you know, to because I knew what it took, like, or I knew what is expected from me, that I will have to pay my life, you know, like I'll have to be humble, I'll have to tell people that I was involved in this sin, you know, and it's ugly sin, basically. I mean, you know, sin is ugly, all sin is ugly. You know, but I was, like, I was ashamed, you know, but I still kept on coming to church. And I'm so thankful for, like, a few guys I know, they had this group prayer, you know, like, on the first Saturday in the month, you know. Like I started joining them, you know. On the first Saturday in every month, we used to pray together in the morning. Morning at 7 o'clock, you know, in the winter time, I think, you know, or going to winter. like, and just to be part of that, just to be with the guys and to hear the praise, you know, to hear how they talk about their struggles, you know, how they open in front of me, you know, telling, speaking to God and like what their struggles was, and like that made me realize that is what I would like to have in my life. Like I would like to be open with my life, you know. I would like to get the help, you know, because also, you know, when you talk about what is happening in your life, you know, you can get the help, basically, you know. Like, of course, you speak to God, you know, but others can also give you assistance and help. Like that also help, you know, to really make a decision that I want to, like, I want to get my life right with God, you know. Like I know. There was at one point I felt that I want to be right with God, no matter what. And like I know I could even lose my whole family, you know. But I told myself I want to be right with God, you know, even if it means that I lost what is most precious to me, you know. And like I had to make very challenging and very difficult decisions, you know, but thanks to the help of brothers, you know, and also thanks to God, you know, I couldn't make those decisions, and today I'm just happy. I'm just so glad, you know, that I made those decisions, you know, that I didn't chicken out, you know, and I know also that God loves me, or like God loves us, you know, even when we are the worst of worst, you know. He still loves us, you know, like he would still love for us, you know, to turn to him, you know. Like, and also just if I can just say, you know, the life of righteousness, you know, like I know for men today, you know, to live a righteous life, you know, to be righteous about in your thinking, in your actions, you know, it is not easy, you know, but that is what God expects, you know, from each and every one of us, you know, to pursue righteousness, you know, to hunger for righteousness, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, you know, like, and you know, as you guys know, the righteousness, or to know God's righteousness, you know, like it is in the scriptures, it is in. You will know what it is in reading the Bible, in studying the Bible, you know. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know, to fight the fight for righteousness, to be open with your lives, you know, because, you know, also when you're open with your life, you know, it is a sign that you want to be righteous, you know, like if you talk to brothers about your struggles, you know, like, also, I think lastly, I just want to say, I think how we as brothers can help each other, you know, is to, you know, is when we ask, how are you, you know, not to ask that simple question, how are you, but to ask the specific question, you know, like, how's your prayer time, you know, because when you're asking, how are you, you know, like after a couple of days, I mean, on a Sunday or like on a midweek service, you get asked the question, how are you? You would say, I'm doing okay, I'm fine. But you know, I think how we will really help each other is to ask the question, how's it going with your prayer life? How's it going with purity? You know, I'm sure you as brothers will really appreciate those direct questions, you know, because if you don't appreciate it, you are hiding something in your heart, you know, because why don't you want to say that your prayer life is good, or your purity is really great, or you're struggling with purity, you know, so, like, I just want to encourage you guys, you know, to really live a life of righteousness, because that is what God has called us for. Just lastly, you know, James 5, verse 16 also says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, you know, and if we want to have powerful prayers, you know, we must live righteous lives. Yeah. And of course, that is what the scripture says.
Right.
If you are righteous, you know, you will have powerful prayers, you know, praying for your brother, you know, praying for your friends, you know, they're studying the Bible. You can't have the powerful prayer if your life is not righteous, if you don't pursue righteousness. Thank you.
Yes, guys, I stand humbly before you because I don't want to hide behind you. I asked James if I can speak from the cuff tonight, and I want to do that. So if I do herhaal myself, then forgive me. And like Christian just said, that preaching is definitely not one of my boxes, Rana. But maybe teaching, I'll try. I can think of four reasons tonight why I do what I do. I definitely do not want to be a leader. Even my work situation, I prefer to do a more specialized type of job. I don't want to lead people. I don't want to sit every day with their personal problems. In a work situation, I would rather prepare something in a work situation on a specialized side and then present it and say, well, then this is what I've done. Now, just to start off, one of the first things that really drive me all these years, especially in the later years, like James said, I was baptized in 1994. Now, in Matthew 28, we all know that passage that in verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that was already done for me in 1994. But then, in verse 20, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Now I think this is the verse that drives me from a godly and from a biblical perspective. That there was people that was willing to teach me, to change my life, to start off on the right foot with God and with life in general. And I also feel from myself, deep in my heart, that God also expects that little bit of me to also go out and at least teach others what was taught to you, what you learn along the road. This is how you grow. This is also what we do as kids. We learn from what our parents already know. And one day when we are grown-ups, then we will taught our kids the same stuff. All that stuff, but also then biblical things. Then we start learning about Joseph and the technical drinker. And this is the things that you will also teach your kids. So, and then the second thing was when you married, and God expected from you, it was your decision to marry, it was my decision. God expected from me to lead my wife. And the moment you've got kids, you have to lead your kids. Also, you have to lead them in a biblical way, in a godly way. And to acquire that righteousness within yourself, you can only find it within the scripture. And how can you lead your wife if you do not teach her biblically what is right and what is wrong? God expected from us. And also to teach our kids. Whether we are successful sometimes, at this stage, I still feel that I've still got a long way to go. I've got two kids, two grown-ups now in my house. And I still fight the good fight to get them to become disciples. But the ground foundation work was laid. I think it's now a matter of they must find themselves within this world spiritually and also. And then the third thing was, because we learn so much from preaching and from teaching within the church, and we also as a practice discipleship, that one brother disciple the other brother, So now leading a small group is nothing more than that. You just now disciple maybe a second brother or a third brother. And now you teach also the brother that you disciple to disciple another brother. So it's not that difficult. So if you really think of it, and by doing that, you also learn a lot. You learn twice as much by discipling other brothers. You learn from their life. You can also put that into practice in your own life. So that really helps you to stay focused as well. And then the last point I want to bring forth was something that I learned, especially in the last 3 years, I think. I started to recognize it. And that is, if you disciple other brothers, especially in my small group, that you cannot be a small group leader and still live a sinful life. And this is really one of the things that really helped me, especially to my small group brothers. I know there's a lot of things that I can still learn, especially in communication. I'm not a good communicator. I do a lot of mistakes in the way that I communicate, the way that I bring myself over to the brothers, the way that I explain things sometimes, the way that I understand things. But I really want to encourage you that we all struggle with things. But it makes it easier if you lead other brothers. It makes it easier for you to stand up at a certain point in time and say, well, I cannot lead these brothers if I still commit masturbation myself. If I'm still serving the internet with wrong stuff. If I read wrong books. And this is something that really helped me to look at my own life. And I can be very honest and open to you tonight that I cannot think when last did I commit masturbation or being on the internet. And this is not because I don't want to say vice, it's not me that is good, because Jesus said there's no one good except God. But what I really want to stress here is that this is what leading other brothers helped me with. Now, if it helps me, I believe that it can also help you a lot. So feel free, stand up tonight, put up your head in the air and say, I'll lead a small group. We need brothers to lead. And I think that is what I want to bring to you for the 4 points. Thank you.
And it looks so good, so I brought some high-tech things to help me. Okay, great job, guys. John, I can just echo what these guys have said, and I think what Johnny has said, certainly when you start leading and you take responsibility, then that really helps you. I mean, struggle a lot less with sin, because your mind isn't on what you're doing. Your mind is on what everybody else has got to be doing. So that's a great one. Godliness is a big word. It's a big thing. It's a big thought. Imagine this. I am godly. Who of us can say we're godly? It's a scary thing. And I think being godly isn't an instantaneous event that takes place in our lives. I think godliness and righteousness and leadership is a journey that we all go on to. I want you, if you have a Bible, to turn with me to Deuteronomy. I'm also like Johnny, I'm winging it slightly, so if I do things in the wrong order, then Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 11 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, are you there? Okay. Verse 11 says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so me may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth, it is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if you turn your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is obviously the story about Israelites about to start their new life, you know, in the promised land that God promised them. It's pretty much like us, I guess, when we become disciples. We start a new life. And God really gives us these choices. And you know, if I think back in my life, I've been a disciple now for 20 years. It's a scary thought. Okay, it's half my life ago. The other day I spoke to someone, I said, wow, that song was so cool. 1981, do you remember it? The guy's like, no. And I'm like, and I thought about it and I realized this guy was only born in 1981. So it's a scary thing, okay? But the fact is, in our lives, if you look back, there are a number of significant events. And there are a number of non-significant events. And often those significant events aren't the events that you expect them to be. You know, if I think about my life, a true story. I failed my first year at university, and someone offered to pay for me, for my university fee. And you may think, that is an amazing, life-changing event in my life. But let me finish the story. So I went and I studied and I passed the next year. But you know, unfortunately, eventually, I didn't finish my degree. Now the deal I made with this guy, he asked me, he called me in one day, on the day that he was going to help me. And he said, can you do this? And I said, I can do it. He says, I tell you what, I'm going to pay for you. And if you pass, it's for God. But if you don't, if you mess us up, then you have to pay me back. And I took God Scovelt, a managing director of Barlo Rand at that time. Okay, oh, one of the directors, big guy. And his son was with me at university, and he was really nice. And I was so grateful. I'm like, thank you. Studied, and I messed it up. I flunked out. And I remember the day I walked into his office, and I was very familiar because, you know, every now and again I'd go there and talk. And I came in that one day, and I hadn't seen him for like 6 months. And I walked into his office one day, and I don't know why I went there. And I said, how's it going? How's it? And I still remember that talk. I still remember that talk. He sat me down. It wasn't nice. Okay. It was a bad talk. You can imagine this little, how's it going? Managing director of Barlo Rand. It wasn't a pretty picture, and he set me straight. But you know what? He taught me integrity, and that day I sat there and I decided I'm going to pay him back. I'm going to make this right, and I did it. I started paying him back. You know what? That was a significant moment. Because that changed. Sorry, that changed my life. That changed who I was. I mean, you may think that the day that Gustav van Rooyen invited me to come study the Bible with him was a significant moment, and it was. But you know, a few months before that, I was in a serious motorcycle accident, almost died, 5 weeks in hospital. And I came out of it, and I had to go home, and was depressed and down, and you know, I was on the rag committee of my race, and I was so looking forward to rag that year. And the day before rag, the day before my birthday, I had this motorcycle accident. Apparently, I couldn't remember. It's 2 weeks that I lost. I had a head injury. Apparently, they had to tie me into bed because I wanted to go to RAG. My leg was broken. I was 6 weeks. I was in plaster for 6 months. I was 5 weeks in hospital. I was just crazy. I just wanted to go. You know, and obviously my priorities were a bit wrong. And I remember getting back to Varsity. When I went home, I couldn't finish my studies that year. I went back, came back the next year. And I remember sitting in my room and saying, I need God. This isn't right. I remember praying a prayer and saying, God, show me. Show me the way. And that same week, Gus invited me. Became a Christian in 7 days. That was a significant moment. You know, 10 years as a disciple, in the disciple of 10 years. How many of you have been disciples for longer than 10 years? Okay, a couple. Okay. So, older than most of you as disciples. Leading a region in the church. Okay. Important guy. Not important, but you know, powerful, dynamic leader. I go overseas on a trip, business trip. And the guy I'm going overseas with, the client, it's a very nice guy. English, British guy. I'm in London, and this guy's in Bristol. So in Bristol, and we're out there. He takes me out every night. And one night, I have a few beers before the party. And then we go out, and we started partying. And I had too much to drink, and there were some girls there, and I messed up badly. I mean, it was ugly. Sure, there I was. I'm in a foreign country. Nobody will know. I messed up. It can affect my marriage and my kids, my family. Certainly, it's going to affect my leadership in the church. What do I do? You know, when I sort of got out of my drunken stupor the next morning, and I lay there and I thought, what have you done? And I had to make a choice. And I called Karen and I said, Karen, I messed up. And it was sad, it was bad. I left the client right there. I didn't finish my work. I said, cheers, I'm going home. And obviously I wasn't in leadership for a long time. But you know what? Today I'm very happily married. I understand what godly sorrow means. Because I had to go through this, and I had to wrestle through this, and had to deal with it. Understand what it means to have brothers in my life that really disciple me and help me. That was a significant moment in my life. A significant part of my journey that helped me to become who I am today. And it's funny that I've mentioned all the bad things in my life, and sometimes the bad things are the best things for us. Today, God set before you life and death. And it's really the choices we make that will determine what kind of men we are going to become. You know, we started, me and Con and a few of the brothers started with that we got together, and Johnny's also part of that, and we said, raising a modern day knight, we want to teach our sons what it means to be men. And it's a daunting task. It really is. I mean, what do? You teach him the principles of manhood. Take responsibility. Lead courageously. Say no to passivity, you know. Expect a greater reward. So I'm teaching my sons. And this last sort of 2 months ago, my father turned 70, and I went home, and my brother-in-law spoke to me, and he's got two little young sons, and he said, Cornel, and I shared about my dad and his birthday and about how awesome dad was. He says, you know, you just shared about how great your dad was and stuff, but you messed up. What can I do to help my sons not to do what you did? Because, I mean, I flunked out. I didn't finish my degree, whatever. I was taken aback a little bit. I felt a tad sort of, that hurt. He says, you know, your dad did everything right. So why did this happen? How did you do this? You know, what do you do? And you know what I think? I told him, I guess all you can do is teach your sons when that happens to them, and it will happen to your kids, that when they get to that point, that they'll make the right decision, that they'll make a choice for the right, that they'll choose life. not choose death and destruction. Griswold knows what it's like to choose the bad way, and he can now tell us, after being away for a while, that life isn't really better out there. But I think we're all in a journey, and we all have those significant moments in our lives. Those pictures. I mean, it's really a movie, but sometimes you can take a picture. And some of us have had significant moments in our life that turned out really awesomely, and some of us have had significant moments in our lives that really turned out badly because of what we did. And it's funny, you only see that when you look back. When you get to be my age, and I'm not even that old. I thought I was 26 again this year. It's not true. But here's the thing. Today, what decision do you need to make? Because I urge you to choose life. I urge you to, if there's something that you're hiding away, to make the choice to do the right thing. I urge you, if there's something that you should have done that you haven't done it, that you will choose and make this a defining moment in your life. That one day when you look back, you can have tears in your eyes like I had, and you can say, that was the day I knew. That's the day I became a man. So, I guess that's all I have to say about that. I think at the end of the day, I'm not godly. I hope to one day be like God, and one day I'll see Him, and then I'll be like Him. But I hope that on my journey, and I hope that you, and I pray for us, that on our journeys we will make the right choices. And that you will choose life and not destruction. Amen.